Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
And good evening. We are live. It is Tuesday, July 24th, 2012. Are we into record-breaking heat yet? I don't know. It just feels like it. I wish really that I had an air-conditioned cart that would take me from my office to my car, which is only 20 feet from my office, but I'll take it right now. I tell you what, I'm done. I really am. No rain in sight, but that's okay. I am Von Carriker. That was my 12-second rant about the weather. You are listening to Show Me Common Sense on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Welcome this evening. You know, last week we talked about elder abuse and particularly financial exploitation. And I'm on a kick, I admit it, but you know what? This is my show and I can do that. This week we're going to delve a little bit more into elder law. We're going to be talking about Alzheimer's. Our guest tonight is going to be Lois Zerer of the Zerer Law Firm. She is a longtime elder law attorney. Experience I couldn't even hope to rack up while I'm still alive, and also a very nice lady and a very knowledgeable one. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story here. In 1906, Dr. Alois Alzheimer noticed some changes in a woman's brain. She was a patient of his, and she died of an unusual mental illness. He noticed before she died that she had memory loss and unpredictable behavior, language problems. And after he died, he thought it was a good idea to take her brain and examine it. And he found a lot of clumps that were considered abnormal. And I think the name of them was amyloid plaque, a phrase we don't usually need to hear too often. And he also found tangled bundles of fiber in her brain. They call those neurofibrillary tangles. Now, these plaques and these tangles in the brain are recognized the world over by doctors as two of the classic signs of Alzheimer's disease. And the third, of course, is the loss of connections between the nerve cells in the brain. As you know, those nerve cells aren't connected. The brain's not going to fire the way it should, and you're not going to be able to think and perform as you should. Since 1906, and since Dr. Alzheimer discovered this disease that bears his name, we have counted in this state right now in 110,000 people, Missourians, who've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. There are 5.4 million Americans with Alzheimer's disease. It's become a problem. It's been sort of the sleeper disease. You know, cancer's taken the spotlight for many, many years, breast cancer in particular. Alzheimer's is creeping up, and it used to be you never heard about it, and now it's everywhere. It seems as if everyone knows someone who has it, who's coming down with it. It's frightening for the person who's suffering from it, and it is frightening for the family who has to watch them, because at this point, there are things you can do to ease some of the symptoms, but there's no cure. Now, Missouri's 95th General Assembly commissioned the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight with Lois Zerer. We're going to talk about Alzheimer's. We're going to talk about what the state of Missouri is doing to help Missouri citizens with Alzheimer's. We're going to talk about some of the solutions that have been proposed. We're going to talk about what's available now to help Missourians, and we're going to talk about what you can do to help your loved ones who are suffering from this disease or who may be suffering from it and you just didn't notice it yet. You are tonight going to be listening to Lois Zerer, noted elder law attorney, one of the finest in Missouri, and a member of the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back with Lois. If you want to call and ask her a question, the number is 347-677-1835. I am Von Carriker. You are listening to Show Me Common Sense on the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last...
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
I love that quote from Patrick Henry. You know, there was a time back in high school when they made us memorize stuff like that, poetry and things that stood us some good in our later years, and I still recite Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood by Robert Frost. I dread the day when or if I become stricken with Alzheimer's and I won't be able to remember all those wonderful words that I was forced to remember in high school and meant nothing to me then and now mean a whole lot to me now. Lois Zerer is our guest. She is an attorney in the state of Missouri. She is an elder law attorney. She's a member of the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force. Lois, welcome to the show.
Thanks, hon.
Now, I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of bragging. I know who you are. The listeners don't know who you are. How do you end up on this task force? What kind of pull did you have to get on there?
At the time, I was serving as the chair of the Southwest Missouri chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, the chair of the board there. And the legislation that was passed by the Missouri legislature to set this task force in place, they listed a whole lot of different categories. I think there are 17 members on the task force, and they wanted a broad range of people and ideas to come to the table. So there's lots of people from the medical profession. There are there's a representative from home health care and residential care, daycare for elderly. There's a person on that. Several people from the state Department of Health and Senior Services, the Department of Mental Health, Office for Minority Health. And then we have some caregivers, some family members, and we have a researcher, one of the primary researchers in the entire United States from Washington University. So it's a very diverse group, and I was proud to be appointed by the governor to the slot that was delegated for an elder law attorney. So it's a very interesting group of people.
That is impressive. You have 17 members statewide?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And how do you all get together to get anything done? I can't get four people together to figure out where to have lunch at one time. How do you get 17 people together to work on an issue as important as this?
Well, that is why we can get people together. We all know because of our various contacts and in the community, and you and I both know how many of our clients, when you do elder law, how many of our clients are affected by Alzheimer's. There's not a week that goes by in my office that I don't see clients, family with an Alzheimer's issue. So all the people on this task force are very dedicated to this issue. We want to know more about it. We want to know what's going on statewide, nationally, even internationally, with research and developments as to this disease. And everyone has been affected by it in some way or another. And so the people who are on this task force are find it an important part of what they do to participate in this task force. So we meet in Jefferson City about 2 to 3 times a year. We have telephone conferences for smaller committees that we've worked on and that kind of thing. But we also did something that was quite interesting to me was these community forums that we did. I believe we did 5 of them throughout the state.
And what's the community forum? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, the public. That's okay. I'm sorry. You get 2 lawyers talking on the phone.
I know. It's a duel.
Yeah. But we advertise these, and we had one in Springfield, Kansas City, Columbia, St. Louis, Cape Girardeau. And the community could come forward and tell us what their issues were, what they were encountering, what they thought was working and what they thought was not working. And that was quite an eye-opener, and we heard commonalities in all the community forums that we did. There were common issues throughout the state of Missouri. It didn't matter whether you were in a big city or a smaller community.
Now I'm gonna interrupt you for a second, because when you talk about these issues and how personal this is, which is why the 17 members of this committee find the time to do this, mm-hmm. we were both at the same conference in Seattle not too long ago, and I remember an attorney talking about one of his clients whose wife was suffering from dementia and advancing in Alzheimer's, and I believe the story he told was that the wife would have these moments where she would recognize her husband, but then there were many times when she'd wake up screaming in bed with him because she didn't know who he was, and his family begged him to put her in a nursing home. And I this broke my heart when I heard the response. The husband said, those times when she remembers who I am, that's all I have. And
yes.
It's heartbreaking to see families dealing with this. I know my husband, Kevin, who's also an elder law attorney, you know Kevin.
Sure.
He described it as having to watch a family member die twice. Would that be accurate?
Yes, I've heard it described that way as well. And I think one of the particularly heart-wrenching things is folks, it's called early onset, people in their 40s and 50s who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's, married couples. I can think of one in particular that I'm acquainted with. You know, the folks who are looking forward to retirement and they had plans for their retirement, and one of the spouses was diagnosed in their 50s, and you know, all those plans kind of had to go out the window. And the coping mechanisms that people have to come up with are very significant. And it's hard for me, and I'm sure it is for you too, to sit and listen to these stories. And you just see the pain on the clients' faces as they tell these stories. And so very often you can see the weariness even in their faces as they try to deal with these issues. And another thing that I've observed over the 10 or 12 years I've been doing this particular type of law is there are commonalities, but every circumstance is different. And, you know, some people will have certain symptoms, like the lady who doesn't recognize her husband and is fearful of that. There are people who have been, you can just tell they've been mild-mannered folks all their lives. You can tell by the families and everything, and they can become belligerent as the disease progresses. And you never quite know what direction any particular patient is going to take. So that's a struggle for the families. So
Now, Lois, and for the listeners, you're listening to Lois Zerer of the Zerer Law Firm, also a member of the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force. Lois, most people think of Alzheimer's as that disease that makes you regress into your childhood as you grow older, kind of like that movie about Benjamin Button. But people may not understand that you can actually die from Alzheimer's. How is that? How does one die from Alzheimer's?
Well, Alzheimer's is a terminal disease. It's designated as a terminal disease because as the and I'm no doctor, okay?
I understand.
It's just what I understand from my knowledge of attending Alzheimer's functions and what I've read and learned on my own here, but the disease progresses through different portions of the brain. And that was early on, 10 or 15 years ago, that was literally how they diagnosed it, is, the memory, the recall of words. Here I am stumbling over my own words, but the recall of words is one of the early symptoms, and that's contained in a certain portion of your brain. As the disease progresses, it begins to affect people more physically in the way they're able to walk and their gait. They don't walk in a normal fashion. They'll start shuffling and things like that. And actually, as it progresses through the brain, it damages different parts of the brain until eventually, it's my understanding that it can even affect those automatic functions of breathing and swallowing. Most people will actually maybe succumb to something else like a pneumonia or something like that, but it is as a complication of Alzheimer's. So.
Wow. This is grim stuff. There is no cure in the horizon just yet for Alzheimer's, is there?
No, they've been working, obviously, very diligently. One of the things that anybody involved in Alzheimer's is concerned about is research and what has developed over the last few years and how far they have to go. One of the things that we look at is funding for the research. And I attended a national Alzheimer's event about 3 years ago in Washington, D.C., and they showed us a graph of the funding for heart disease. Cancer had the highest amount of funding, and heart disease had the second highest amount of funding. And then way down, the little bitty short graph was Alzheimer's disease. And, we've made huge strides in cancer research over the last 30 or 40 years. Back in the 60s and 70s, cancer was a death sentence, and it's not that way anymore. And heart disease, we know a lot about preventing heart disease and treating heart disease and procedures that can be done and medications to stave off heart disease.
And AIDS as well.
See that. Pardon me?
And AIDS as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you can see what the research dollars do. And so, one of the big pushes now is to increase funding for AIDS research at the national and even the state level.
Did you mean Alzheimer's research?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Now, yeah. I promised you that I would not do gotcha politics on you, and I'm not going to do that. So I am going to ask you a question, though, based on your experience
with
the task force. In, I think, February, the President's Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, issued a press release talking about this, quote, ambitious national plan to fight Alzheimer's disease, the National Alzheimer's Project Act. Are you familiar with it?
I am, yes.
Okay. Is the
I can't quote your chapter and verse, but... I am familiar with the project.
And you know what? That was going to be my next question. Golly, you took that from me.
What's on page six?
Page six, paragraph three, line two, to be exact.
Yeah.
Now, Lois, as you know, we're facing some hard financial times. There are lots of diseases that are getting a lot more attention on the national radar than Alzheimer's, and we are facing some deficit numbers that haven't been seen in our lifetime. Do you feel that the National Alzheimer's Project Act is going to adequately fund Alzheimer's research? Is the money there to do it, or has it been, since this announcement was made in February, has the money been coming?
Well, I'll tell you, the plan is more than just dollars for research.
Okay.
There's a broad range of activities, and we can go into that in a few minutes. I don't want to duck your question, and I don't want to forget it before I skip with it. But who knows what how many dollars it's going to take? Who knows what's the last dollar that's going to lead to a cure or a very significant treatment to stop the disease in its tracks? What we have right now, we have medications that can slow the decline. It can improve a person's quality of life for maybe a few more years, but the disease still continues to progress. Okay, and a lot of the research goes toward, we know the people who have it. Let's try to let's slow it down as much as we can. And in doing that kind of research, they're also looking into, can we determine what the causes are so we can stop it in its tracks? And, again, I don't know how many dollars is enough dollars. But what the people need to realize is when you look at the number of baby boomers coming into the system, like 10,000 a day, people are turning 65 years old, the Medicare and Medicaid programs will never be able to sustain the amount of people that potentially will need help because of Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is a disease of aging, all right? By the time you're 85, when people reach 85, you have at least you have a 50% chance of having Alzheimer's. And, you know, we all know how our whole society is aging. People are living, many more people are living to 85 and 90 than did, again, 30 or 40 years ago, and partly because we have this good cancer and heart research and those kind of things. But the numbers, I was reading something today that a Medicare patient is an Alzheimer's patient on Medicare is going to cost three times what a patient with Alzheimer's is going to cost the system. And if a person's on Medicaid, it's nine times what the cost of another illness or treatment that you would need. So if you multiply those kind of numbers by the number of baby boomers who are coming into the age range where people start to develop Alzheimer's, we've got to get a handle on this thing, or else, you know, the way we fund our care is just going to overload the system. I call it a tsunami. It's a tsunami of baby boomers with the potential to develop Alzheimer's and need long-term care.
Now, so, you talk about this the strain that's going to be on Medicare and Medicaid. Let me talk to you for a little bit. Let me ask you, actually, how affordable is the medicine now for treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's?
It's pretty expensive. One of the drugs, I believe it's Aricept, I'm thinking of a different drug. I was thinking that one of them was coming up pretty close to their patent expiring, to where you could get a generic form, which obviously everybody understands is a cheaper method of obtaining the drugs. It's an issue. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sorry, I can't you know, quote you dollars as to how much this is going to be a month or that's going to be a month. But it's certainly a part of the cost of caring for folks with Alzheimer's. There's other things besides medication costs. There's home care. There's lost wages if a family member, a spouse, has to quit work, or a child has to quit work to stay home and take care of the patient with Alzheimer's. You know, you're losing economic input that way. So there, it's not just the quote the healthcare costs. There's a lot of other costs involved with the disease as well.
Now, we're going to talk in the second half of the show about what the task force specifically does and why that's important. Can you tell me what was the motivation in Missouri, if you know, for putting together the state plan task force?
Well, actually, we're the second task force. The first one was back in 1989, and Missouri was kind of on the forefront at that time. It was 20 years ago, but we were somewhat on the forefront of trying to get out kind of in front of this. Even at that point, people were understanding what was kind of coming down the pike. And so it had been 20 years since anyone had taken a look at the status of, you know, research, care, services, how many people are impacted by the disease, all those kind of things. So that was why the decision was made to embark on put together a task force, and like I said, all the different disciplines that are represented, so that we could evaluate what's going on in the state of Missouri and try to figure out ways, be creative, share information to better serve our clients in whatever discipline we address them.
You're listening to Lois Zerer talk about the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force and about the horrible disease of Alzheimer's. I am Vaughn Carricker. You are listening to Show Me Common Sense. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to get into some of the details of the what, the why, and the how for the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force. You are listening to Show Me Common Sense on the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network.
With the August primary looming in about 7 weeks, we find the time is running out on who we vote for. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Do the representatives we send to Jefferson City really care what you think, or do they do the bidding of the special interest groups and lobbyists? It's your choice. You can elect a true citizen legislator or an establishment politician who takes his marching orders from the party elitists and his donors. Either way, time is running out for our state and country. Hear the clock of freedom ticking? I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
People who listen to this show know that for some reason I just love that little song to death I don't know why I'm always dancing in my chair when I hear that. And then I'm in my car looking crazy. But that's okay. We are back with Lois Zerer of the Zerer Law Firm. And we are talking about Alzheimer's and the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force. Lois, one of the goals of the task force, and this is according to their executive summary, is to promote statewide access or access to statewide expert diagnostic services so as to lead to early intervention and support. When you talk about diagnostic services, what do you mean?
Well, I think that, what they're talking about there is the actual patient-doctor relationship and getting the diagnosis. When I talked earlier about the community forums that we had and things that we heard throughout the state of Missouri, and one of the things, there were a couple of things that really stuck with me from every one of these, was the number of people who said how difficult it was to get a diagnosis from the doctor.
How is Alzheimer's diagnosed, by the way?
Well, again, I think it begins with the family, even the person themselves, noticing changes in their, we call it cognition, their ability to think clearly. And, you know, there's a difference between normal aging and just, you know, we all forget people's names, or we all put, our keys in a place we can't find them. And I've started having to have one place for my keys, or else I get really frustrated in the morning. You know, that's just kind of a sign of normal aging. But when, you put the keys in the refrigerator and you put the milk in the cabinet, you know, and don't remember or don't realize you've made a mistake, that is an issue. And, you know, families begin to see these kind of things in their loved one. And the next step is the next visit to the doctor's office.
Okay.
And I think that sometimes doctors are reluctant to put a name to this. And again, it is difficult to diagnose because you have to make a determination of what is normal aging and what is a disease process. And, you know, with our healthcare system, a lot of the doctors are not given enough time. They have so many patients to see in a day or an hour, and this is the kind of thing that has to be developed over time. And there are some diagnostic tests that can be done, a grouping of questions that test different parts of the brain and different cognition issues they seem simple, but they can be very accurate in diagnosing. But again, what we heard from people quite frequently was the trouble getting a diagnosis. And then the second part of that was when they got the diagnosis, they didn't know where to turn. The doctor kind of said, well, here it is, here's the answer. And then, you know, they kind of, then the family's left wondering, well, what do we do now? What's next? And they, you know, they're not given information about the prognosis or the course of the disease and things like that. So the other thing is, the earlier you can intervene, the better quality of life a person can have. And you know, maybe medication can, again, the medications that we have now that kind of slow the progression, you know, we can get those, if we can catch those earlier in the process,
now,
they can become more effective.
I'm sorry to interrupt you right there. I had this thought and I needed to get it out before I forgot. And by the way, when I was younger, was famous for leaving things like dish towels in the refrigerator.
Would be considered a normal event for you.
For me, it is a very normal event. Now,
yeah.
As far as the task force goes, do you come up with practical solutions to help get people past the diagnosis stage? Do you then say, we need to develop a list of doctors who specialize in geriatric care or in Alzheimer's care? Is that part of the task force's duties?
Well, I don't think we've come up with exactly something like that. What we are trying to do is, at this point, share information with the medical community about what we found. And again, what some of the newest information about the disease, we've identified several different kind of medical conferences and things like that, like the family practice doctors, when they have a conference or a convention, we are attempting to get folks who are knowledgeable speakers to go and be presenters at those kind of conferences so that the doctors can learn. You know, in a rural setting, you know, the doctors out there, they have to do babies and teenagers and middle-aged folks and seniors and everything. You know, in larger communities, there may be geriatric clinics or senior clinics connected with large hospitals and things like that where the practitioners do get more exposure to it. But in you know, Missouri is a primarily a rural state. We have these two great big huge metropolitan areas and then smaller metropolitan areas like Springfield or Cape Girardeau or you know, there's an awful lot of Missourians who live in rural settings and getting care or getting, you know, people who have a lot of exposure to Alzheimer's and diagnosis is more difficult in those rural communities.
Now, let me ask you a question that may be unique to the rural community. Is it possible to provide adequate care and I mean, at home, outside the home, community care, facility care, what have you, is it possible for a family member to provide that sort of necessary care for an Alzheimer's patient without going through the court system or any sort of legal process?
Well, certainly, you know, everybody wants to stay home as long as they can. And, you know, we... Part of what an elder law attorney does is make sure I'm familiar with what resources are available in the community to these families that they may not even be aware of, and what can we do to help the family stay at home longer. I know that one of the things, one of the early interventions that the task force has talked about was making sure that people get their legal affairs in order. And I think I was listening to the show last week when you had Deb Schuster on, and we talked about powers of attorney and those kind of things, that just because you have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's does not mean that you are not capable of executing legal documents. And, you know, you can talk to an attorney and get those documents in place before the person's mental abilities decline so far that they can't really comprehend legal documents and what the impact of those are. And no, it's important to have those because eventually the person will not be able to handle financial things on their own and make decisions about maybe even care, needed care. And, you know, powers of attorney for health care and powers of attorney for finances can go a long way to helping the family negotiate all the processes that need to be handled.
Now, Lois, and you're listening to Lois Zerer of the Zerer Law Firm talk about Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force and Alzheimer's in general. Lois, I was at the park at a Patriot rally last weekend, and I sat next to a gentleman in the blistering sun who was telling me that he was there to visit his wife, who had Alzheimer's and had been put into a nursing home, and he was crying. And it, again, it's one of those things, I never thought of myself as a soft-hearted person, and there are plenty of people who would agree with me on that, but I cannot walk away from someone who's in obvious pain, who's trying to tell me something. And attorneys, more than anything, despite what people choose to believe, we are listeners. And I want to ask you, besides attorneys who listen, are there resources available for the affected family members who are going through this with their loved ones? Is there counseling? Does the task force look at resources for the family members to help them cope?
Oh, absolutely. It's not just legal resources, obviously, that are out there. There's a lot of healthcare professionals, and, you know, one of the things that people need to kind of look at is what are the different levels of care that are available out there. It doesn't mean just because a person is going to decline doesn't mean they have to go to a nursing home. There are other living arrangements that can accommodate people safely. We always want to talk about the person being safe and healthy in their environment and choosing the best environment for them. There are Alzheimer's Association offices throughout the United States. We have basically four offices here in the state of Missouri. Those provide support groups for family members. They provide support groups for patients with Alzheimer's themselves. They sometimes have group activities that people can participate in so that you can learn from other folks who are going through what you are going through at the same time. You can learn from each other. There are offices on aging throughout the state of Missouri. They cover the entire state of Missouri. They have lots of resources available to people. So when you do get that diagnosis, don't feel that you're alone. There's lots of help out there for you. It doesn't stop the disease, but hopefully it gives you some better coping mechanisms to deal with it.
And while we're on it, is there a particular resource that you would recommend for someone who's facing these problems and dealing with a loved one with Alzheimer's or about to, you know, go into a nursing home due to Alzheimer's? Is there any place you'd send them to talk about it?
Probably the Alzheimer's office that is near them. There's also their website is alz.org.
Alz.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, you can National Institutes of Health have information. I mean, if you go to your web browser and type in Alzheimer's disease, there's probably several million hits, there's a plethora of information out there available to folks. And if you have an Alzheimer's office locally, or they have helplines, you can call an 800 number and they'll help to direct you to the right location. The Department of Health and Senior Services, state of Missouri, this would come under the auspices of the Department of Health and Senior Services. They have a website. I was on it today looking at it, and they have little podcast things that you can look at and get further information. So there's lots of information out there.
Now, Lois, many of our listeners tend to lean conservative, and when you talk about the Department of Health and Human Services, it kind of sends a cold chill down the backs of a lot of people. How successful has the department been in working with the task force and in implementing programs such as Project Learn More to help combat Alzheimer's? And this is just your subjective opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, there are several different members of the task force are state employees. And one thing about looking at something on a statewide level, a department like Health and Senior Services can be like a focal point where a lot of information can come together in one place. And we know that we can go to that location and find information. And because that's what the job of those people in those offices is to do, it's to gather that information. We may be doing something here in Springfield that the people in St. Charles don't know about. And if we can share that information through this one focal point, then everybody in the state of Missouri gets to know, here's a good program, here's a good plan, here's something that worked well in this community. So it's sharing can be a clearinghouse for information. And health and senior services. I hope I said that right. It's health and senior services. It's not social services. They're a different.
That is correct. You did say it correctly.
Division. Okay. The Project Learn More is. I'm trying to remember what that. I think they're coordinating that. Oh, that's. I'm sorry. There's so many different things in this report. I got to stop and categorize them in my head. They are working with the offices on aging, and those are offices again throughout the state of Missouri. There's usually a local, like a senior center in every county in the state of Missouri, and they're under the auspices of the. Different area, they call them AAAs, Area Agency on Aging. So, it's government. We have to have acronyms. So, but they have a huge amount of resources. And every once in a while, I tell people, taxes really do pay for stuff. And, nobody in their own family can figure out what kind of supports are necessary for people with Alzheimer's. This is the first time this family has ever gone through Alzheimer's, okay? But there are other people who have gone through it before, and that's where these different agencies can provide assistance. They know what's out there. They know what resources, again, they know what works and what doesn't. You don't have to reinvent the wheel inside your own family to learn about Alzheimer's disease and what things are helpful and what things aren't helpful. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but that's kind of how I think about it.
You did well, Lois.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about the Alzheimer's Navigator?
I have not personally used that myself. It is designed to be, again, another clearinghouse for information. I don't know how localized it is because I'm sorry I haven't gotten on it myself to check it out. But that is a project of the National Alzheimer's Association that they have set that in place to hopefully, if people go to their website, the Navigator will show them what kind of services are available in their community.
Now, people who don't know how to get on, there is a website. It's called the AlzheimersNavigator.org, and I will go ahead and spell Alzheimer's, AlzheimersNavigator, Navigator, NavigatorOr.org. And it looks like a pretty impressive gateway to begin the process of learning about Alzheimer's and what you can do.
I still think that there's a value in being able to sit face-to-face and talk to people. You can get, and 20 years ago, we lived without the Internet, and now nobody you talk to knows how we lived without it. But it's a great thing to accumulate information, but there's still... there are lots of people who you're able to sit and talk face to face with in your own community about what's available here and people who are going through the same things that you are going through at the same time. So, and I think there's something to be said for that too.
Okay, so let me see if I can pull this picture together. I have a loved one who appears to be showing some signs that cause me some concern. I go to the doctor with them, find out they've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's through a series of diagnostic tests that the doctor performs.
Mm-hmm.
I then contact the Department of Senior Services, the Division of Aging, or I go on the Alzheimer's Navigator. Is that the next step? Or do I go and talk to a social worker? Do I go to the Social Security office and talk to a social worker? What do I do?
A little bit of that may depend on where you are. Okay, if you're in a larger city, like in Springfield, we have senior clinics, the hospitals. We have two large hospitals here, and they each have a senior clinic where people, and they might even have a social worker right there on staff who can direct you what your next step should be. Social Security does not have social workers. They are only, you know, you may want to talk to them about what benefits might be out there, but they don't provide social workers to help you navigate the system, which I guess is why they call it the Alzheimer's Navigator. It's, you know, it's to help you chart a course through what you're going to have to go through. Again, the local offices, if you're fortunate enough to have one nearby, there are folks there who can help you. Because there are lots of different areas of assistance that people are going to want and need and want to turn to. Again, you know, you kind of start off, I recommend to people that they get their legal documents in order as quickly as possible. And when you have that in place, then it opens up a lot of doors for the family to help the Alzheimer's person deal with housing issues or medical issues or financial issues that are going to come down the pike later on.
Now, back to the finances. I am going to take you back to the question I asked in the first segment. We talked about the funding and whether it was enough. Now, one of the recommendations of the task force is that the state government reinstate some funding to the Alzheimer's Disease and Related Disorders Project. That was, I guess that was something that was established with the first task force.
I'm afraid I don't know the exact year. I might have. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1987. There was a statute passed by the Assembly, and Governor Ashcroft signed it to create the Alzheimer's Disease and Related Disorders Program. We should maybe talk about some of the other dementias, too, in a minute if we have time. But I'll tell you, there were some grants available to researchers in the state of Missouri, and they were up to $30,000. You could ask for a grant up to $30,000. And Washington University and the University of Missouri in Columbia are very, very well recognized as leaders in research. And part of it was probably because they had this money available to them back in the early days, so to speak. And I have a chart that I received from the Missouri Coalition of Alzheimer's Associations that these researchers took these grants of like $30,000. One of them turned it into $1.2 million. Another one turned it into $1.3 million. They were able to start research, and then based on that, they were able to go to other granting institutions or foundations or whatever and get more money and bring it into the state of Missouri for additional research. So they took $30,000, and the least on this list that I have was $700,000. So, you know, they were able to multiply this money, you know, what, 10, 20 times over what the initial grant from the state of Missouri was. So, you know, these are jobs in research centers. They're good, I would assume they're good paying jobs that are brought into the state of Missouri by this funding. And it's making life better for Missourians and people all throughout the United States, maybe even the world. You know, when people can identify things that are going to be helpful in diagnosing or treating this disease, it helps all of us, all those families that are suffering on a day-by-day basis.
So basically, they took a $30,000 government grant and leveraged that through private partnerships to build on the resources that they had?
Yeah, some of them were private and some of them were public. Some of them were additional grants from the National Institute on Health, maybe, or Some were from the Alzheimer's Association, which would be a private funder, and different foundations. One of them they're showing here, the McDonald Foundation, that would be private. So a lot of it is private money, private foundation money coming in. So
Wow, that's a better return than I would have expected.
I was astonished. That's why I kept this piece of paper. I was so astonished when they gave me this a few weeks ago at the last task force meeting. So I'm like, you know, that really shows, like, again, a few minutes ago, it's not maybe a very popular position, but taxes really do pay for stuff, you know. This is where they took a dollar and turned it into $10 or $20 more, so.
Well, Lois, I'm going to have to tell you, I can't argue with that. If they can take my tax dollar and turn it into $10 or $20 that don't come straight out of my pocket, I'm all for it. If they can do that up and down the board, I'm a fan. So I'm impressed with what the Alzheimer's Task Force and Alzheimer's researchers have done. Now, we've got about 3 minutes here. I want to talk to you about related disorders. Can you speak to us for a minute or two about that?
Every time when we talk about dementia, dementia is the big umbrella, and Alzheimer's is just one disease under the umbrella. Parkinson's comes under this. It's a neurological disease that affects the brain and the nervous system. And, there's vascular dementia. There's... of course, I'm drawing a blank now that I'm trying to think of them all, but every time I hear, well, there's this many number of dementias, the number gets bigger. So there's traumatic brain injury that can cause dementia. There's something called Pick's disease. There's Lewy body dementia. And these are all, they're different diagnosable diseases, but they have kind of similar effects. Where a person loses their mental capability, they may lose control over the physical functions of the body and that kind of thing. So when they're developing research for Alzheimer's, they're also finding out what works and doesn't work for a lot of these other diseases as well. So, you know, again, the cost to our society of caring for folks, the nursing home cost, the medicine cost, the lost opportunity cost to the family members who are having to care for their loved one. These are all dollars, too, that are going out that maybe, you know, maybe we could use them for something else if we could have more of an impact on this disease.
Lois Zerer of the Zerer Law Firm and the Missouri Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force. Thank you, Lois, very much for being a guest on my show. I am very, very impressed with the work that you've been doing, and I'm really glad that we had a chance to chat about it.
Well, thank you. It's been fun for me. I love doing these kind of things. I love talking about some of these things that I'm passionate about, and elder law attorneys can't help but be passionate when we see the impact that it has on families and the folks that we're sitting across the desk from. So thanks for the opportunity to come on and visit with Yvonne.
Well, I appreciate you coming onto the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lois Zerer of the Zerer Law Firm, and she is a member of the Missouri Alzheimer's State Task Force. I want to thank you for listening to tonight's show. You know, Missouri is a world leader in Alzheimer's research, and we have been the beneficiaries of their hard work and their impressive ability to stretch a dollar. So we need to thank the people who've worked for us this hard. I'm Yvonne Carriker. You are listening to Show Me Common Sense. Good night and good luck to you all.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you, Till next time we meet.
I'll see you later.